Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Today, our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us of two types of rendering, that is, pain and so forth, that we are to do. Render unto Caesar, that is, government or the state, so to speak, and then render unto God. This rendering is not put in opposition to each other like it is when Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. It's different than that. But that said, there is a distinction here between God and Caesar that sinners are very much prone to get wrong. And thus they sin against God in their rendering unto him, even if it be in their rendering unto Caesar. Render unto God that which is God's. This most certainly involves the inward matters of the soul, but yet it is also evident in the outward matters of the body. There is to fear and to love and to trust. There is reverence and honor and obedience. There are prayers and devotion and worship. There's adoration and praise and thanksgiving. These are indeed matters of the body and the soul. They are matters of the conscience, that God is above all and over all, and that all earthly authority that exists, exists by his provision. And it is given a task by the Almighty Creator to do as he has given it to do, to maintain justice and righteousness, to provide for peaceful and quiet times that lives may go on daily, doing as God has given each individual to do. That it is given to punish the wicked and to reward the upright. The Herodians were rulers over Judea under the Romans. The Pharisees were the popular cultural opinions that mattered. They both held seats on the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of Israel or of Judea. When they approach Jesus to ensnare him in their question, they are most certainly not rendering unto God that which is God's, whether as outward believers, so to speak, or even as earthly authorities. They are not doing as God would give them to do. They judge God. They question him. They try to entrap him. Either he will deny taxes and upset the Roman authorities, or he will affirm taxes and upset the people. Either way is a win for them in their hardened wickedness towards Christ, that is to say, toward God. They approach with the flatterer's tongue. They try to butter up Jesus. They praise him from their deceitful and lying hearts. They seek to use him to advance their own selfish ways. They are indeed enemies of the cross of Christ. That is, they want nothing to do with the gospel. They serve their own bellies, grumbling in constant craving for the praise and esteem and likes of men, seeking to be popular above all things. And they glory in their shameful acts, as the treatment of our Lord Jesus Christ on Good Friday will teach you. They love violence. They are proud and arrogant, and they speak in twisted ways. They walk in evil while trying to appear godly. They are, as Jesus rightly judges, hypocrites. They do not render unto God that which is God's. Jesus doesn't fall for it. He silences them with his answer, and he proves to be once again the victorious one. That the plots and the plans of the wicked cannot overcome Jesus, no matter how much semblance of godliness or even governmental authority they might have. That in the end, Caesar is still accountable to Jesus, as is any government or any ruler. For by God, kings and princes rule. By God, presidents and legislators, judges and magistrates, governors, and any sort of earthly authority rule. And then to God, then, they are to be held accountable. That the things of evil, the ways of evil, are to be nowhere in those rulers and the ways they conduct themselves. That they are not to be lovers of violence and bloodthirsty. They are not to be proud and arrogant, twisted in their speech, perverted in their ways, loving their riches, loving their power, seeking injustice, unrighteousness, and so forth. That government has no authority from God to do such things as those things that are hated, and it says hated, by God. That if Caesar, or if government does these things, they do not render unto God the things that are God's. So far, many amens might be running true in your mind as you hear today. It is easy to point out the sins of those who have authority. But far more problematic and far more painful is our own sins in this. Render unto Caesar. What do we owe government and why? The why is easy. God instituted government, that's why. That we owe outward and external things. Honor, obedience when it doesn't command us to sin, taxes even. That Jesus here does not oppose taxes, and no, he does not allow the taxpayer the right to not pay if they don't agree with how those taxes get spent. Jesus does not affirm the now popular saying of taxation is theft. He says, pay taxes. That your thinking in relation to how this might reflect which citizen you regard as higher, how you regard this teaching of Christ might reflect that. That you might have an inner idolatry. That you might consider your earthly citizenship more important than your heavenly. Because your heavenly citizenship takes every word of Jesus as the very word of God. You see, sinners are prone to not give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's by the authority that God has established and given to Caesar. That rebellion is not a virtue in God's eyes. But lest the law here be spoken and not heard by all, sinners are also prone to render unto Caesar the things that are not Caesar's. They are prone to render unto Caesar the things that are God's. If you look at your own life and what consumes your time, your energy, your efforts, what takes your devotion, what really fills your conversations with others, of what you seek to honor more, of what you actually worship, of what you actually rely upon, what you trust in, and what you thank in your life, well, far too many worship government. And the things of government rather than God. This is also spoken against. The Romans worshipped their rulers as gods, and they praised everything of the state. They developed cults of their most honored heroes, especially their dead. They stood for all sorts of government-endorsed evils and hated and persecuted Christians. And God wiped them out. No government which turns against God will last. No one who gives the things of God unto government is in a good spot with God. Whether that's a Roman or an American, none of it is good. Render unto God that which is God. That we have a greater citizenship than the one which allows us the freedoms we have in this land. It is a citizenship in a kingdom which cannot end and will not end. It is a citizenship that has a greater benefit than any citizenship found on this earth in all of its history. It is a citizenship which beckons its citizens to think not on earthly things which pass away, but heavenly ones which are and always will be eternal. It is a citizenship that is derided by the world and also looked upon as unimportant by the flesh, imaginary even. But it is a citizenship that in the end, when our Lord Jesus Christ appears, and he puts all authority under his feet, subjecting all things unto himself, well, then that heavenly citizenship will prove to be the greatest treasure, the most wondrous gift, the greatest possession of any man, woman, or child that has ever lived. The Pharisees and the Herodians, they were earthly minded. They sought to subdue Christ to their desires, to their authority, to their opinions. In the Scriptures, you find an example in St. Paul, who wrote, "Imitate me." Well, St. Paul, in his citizenships that he both held, both his Roman citizenship and his heavenly eternal citizenship, he rightly teaches us how he used those. He used his earthly citizenship in subject to his heavenly citizenship, and he used it to work with the gospel. Which pattern? Whether the Pharisees or the Herodians, or the example of St. Paul, fits how you have used your dual citizenship. Sin abounds. If we are honest, we cannot stand today like any other day by what we have done. We have wrongfully rendered in our lives. We are indeed constantly getting things off kilter and wrong, that repentance is always and in every place the order of the day. God deserves the things of God from us. And one of those things is indeed the proper rendering unto Caesar as God commands. But it never involves confusing God and Caesar. Either. That Christ our Lord defeated the traps. Christ our Lord is the victorious Lord. He defeats the power hungry and the wicked ways of the world. He destroys the works of the devil. He unveils our sinful flesh that he would kill it with his word of forgiveness. And so we prayed today. In the collect today, we prayed, absolve us. Forgive us. That collect, it's no coincidence that that collect is appointed for today, and today we are to hear of our relationship to God and to government. But we know the answer to that prayer. We know the answer to our cry to absolution, our cry, forgive us, O Lord. We know it because God gave it before we even prayed it. Your sins are forgiven. You are, in fact, citizens of a kingdom of grace. Jesus is your righteousness. If you want an example of faithfully rendering unto God and unto Caesar, look at Jesus. His active obedience in keeping the law meant keeping both the first and the fourth commandments, and keeping them in their proper order as well. That he did that for your sake. And on top of that active obedience, Christ Jesus also suffered and died the guilt of our sins of confusing heaven and earth and the things of heaven and the things of this earth. That the guilt is gone, it is taken away. That Christ our Lord then saw fit to give us his Holy Spirit, that we would seek to live in waiting for his return, entrusting things to his care and keeping, pondering heavenly things, and properly serving the things of this life as God would have us doing, instead of the ways in which the world might demand from us, the devil might deceive us into thinking, or the flesh would want to devise us into. He would have us live with his way of thinking and judging, with hating violence, with hating evil and pride and arrogance and twisted speech, loving the cross of Christ, for it is our salvation, loving and serving others instead of ourselves, loving and glorying in God's work with minds set on heavenly, eternal things. He would have us know what is ours already in Christ, our enduring treasure, our righteousness and holiness and blessedness and innocence, all from Christ. The very things that we have now fully by faith, with a taste of hearing it in the forgiveness of our sins. Certainly, this Sunday, the 23rd Sunday of Trinity, can be a hard lesson for us as Americans. But it isn't hard to hear, however, as Christians. And we can indeed, by God's grace and his help, do both faithfully, with our lesser and temporary citizenship serving our greater eternal citizenship, and not the other way around. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.